Alright, let's.
We're ready. Rabbi Shiner is joining us.
I would like to first of all thank everybody for having me again. This is already quite a few times that I'm here. And I personally get inspired every time leaving here from schmoozing with Olam afterwards and just being together with such a chashuv Olam. So I thank you for having me again. We began Elul. It's already more than a week into Elul, about 10 days into Elul last Tuesday. I would like to share with you a beautiful mashal, a beautiful story that the Brisker Rav explains the idea of preparing Elul, preparing for Rosh Hashanah. He was once a wealthy, successful businessman. He actually started off small. He sold merchandise in his local town. He had a shop. And as he became more successful, he branched out. He had stores in the next town over. It took a little bit of time. He became really successful. He was statewide, nationwide. He got so big that he was already getting orders from out of the country. That's his merchandise. Anyways, he got a big order to send his merchandise out of the country. Obviously, he wanted to get the most out of the deal, and moving merchandise out of the country means passing through the border. Passing through the border means paying tax, and he wanted to avoid tax. So he figured out a strategy, planned out how he's going to be able to get through the border, what's the easiest border to get through. He hired a wagon driver, horse and buggy wagon driver, to move through the border to get the merchandise through, not to have to pay tax. This wealthy, successful businessman, 3-4 weeks before the journey, before the trip, he's getting nervous already. What's going to happen if he gets stopped? If he gets stopped by the border, not only do they confiscate, they take away all his merchandise, but they actually could lock him up. They could even kill him. So he gets good and nervous 3-4 weeks before. What's about the wagon driver, the one who's just driving the horse and buggy? When does he get nervous? So he doesn't get nervous 3-4 weeks before. He doesn't stand that much of a danger and that much to lose. 2-3 days before, he gets nervous. Why does he get nervous 2-3 days before? It's getting close. If he does get caught, so then it's 2-3 days of interrogation. They stop him. They might take away his horse and wagon. So he gets a little nervous. Who doesn't get nervous at all in this story? Who's not nervous at all?
The horse.
Very good. The horse. The horses are not nervous at all. They don't know what's coming, what's going. Doesn't make a difference. They're not nervous even while walking through the border. They're not nervous at all. Says the Brisker Rav, we're here in Chodesh Elul. When Chodesh Elul begins, what happens in Chodesh Elul? We start the Chodesh with Shofar. L'David Hashem Oiri, Shofar is supposed to awaken us. You see, the beginning of Elul is already a little bit of a wake-up call. Actually, Reb Itzel Paterberg, by Rosh Chodesh benching before Elul, they say when he heard, they announced that this month that's coming by Rosh Chodesh benching against Elul, he fainted. So, at least we start preparing somewhat for Rosh Hashanah. In the beginning of the month, Rosh Chodesh, we blow shofar, we say L'David. Actually, the Svardim already are in full swing. They're saying Slichas every single day. So some begin their preparations already from Rosh Chodesh. However, there are those that they don't actually get so involved right away in Rosh Chodesh. And that's when Slichas comes around. By the days of Slichas, they start getting more involved. Slichas 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. Minimum 4 days. Actually, this year is the shortest Slichas because Rosh Hashanah is Thursday. So it's 4 days of Slichas, of preparing yourself for the Yom HaDin. So that's a little bit more intense, to get yourself worked up to be prepared for the Yom HaDin, for Rosh Hashanah. Then comes Rosh Hashanah itself. Some people, Rosh Hashanah, they work very hard to be involved Rosh Hashanah. Says the Brisker Rav, you have all different points during the month of Elul, when to tune in, when to get involved, when to awaken yourself. But says the Brisker Rav, one thing you shouldn't be like, don't be like the horses that just pass through the border and they don't know anything. Don't be like those passing through the Yom HaDin, not involved, checked out. Try to get involved. Try to be tuned in. Now, the truth is that we are pretty tuned in. If you ask, I mean, we're learning, we're davening. What does it mean, tuned in? Aren't we learning? Aren't we davening? What's the idea? How do we understand of getting better and really preparing ourselves for the Yom HaDin, Rosh Hashanah, we're Mamluch Hashem, but we're preparing for a big day. What? How do we understand? How do we prepare ourselves? My grandfather, Mohammed Yehuda, I think I mentioned him in the past time, but he put out a sefer on Kochim when he was 18. He learned in Chachma Lablin in Europe. And they put out a sefer on Al HaTorah also, his 20th yahrzeit is actually now. He brings a fascinating medrash. The medrash says in next week's parasha, next week, Kisavai, the pasuk begins, the parasha begins with the mitzvah of Bikurim. The mitzvah of Bikurim is a mitzvah which is noyig in Eretz Yisrael, the first of the Shivas Avminim, of the seven special fruits that grow. The first fruit of it that grows in your field, you put a red ribbon around it so you should remember and know which one it is. And once it's ripe and it's done, you bring it up there. You bring it up to your Yerushalayim, to the Beis Hamikdash. It's actually prepared, and the cities around come out and are malav and walk and with music and everything. It's a big mitzvah. That's the mitzvah of Bikurim. Says the Medrash, if you do this mitzvah, if you do the mitzvah of Bikurim, kisavoyu al artzachem, if you do the mitzvah of Bikurim, b'schus the mitzvah of Bikurim, you'll come, you'll be zoicha to go to Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Medrash says. If you're going to do the mitzvah of Bikurim, with doing the mitzvah, the schus, the schar, the payment of doing the mitzvah of Bikurim is entering Eretz Yisrael. So the obvious question is, what does it mean? Because of the mitzvah of Bikurim, you'll go into Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of Bikurim is only knowing in Eretz Yisrael. There are mitzvahs at Pluyas Baretz, Trumas, Maestris, all the mitzvahs that have to do with plantation, with fruits, are only knowing in Eretz Yisrael. So Bikurim is only knowing in Eretz Yisrael. So how do you understand that because of the mitzvah, that'll enable you to go into Eretz Yisrael? You're not going into Eretz Yisrael to do the mitzvah. You are in Eretz Yisrael when you're doing the mitzvah. So he explains with a Mishnah in Maisa Shady. The Mishnah Maisa Shady says, the Mishnah explains the different levels of Kedusha around in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Chil, and different rooms in the Beis HaMikdash. It was built with the Beis HaMikdash, had Kedusha, it had holiness. However, it depended on where the door was. If the door of the room was open to outside, if the door was open to outside, to Chol, to not Kedusha, not holiness, then the room was not Kodesh, didn't have holiness. However, if the door was open into the Beis HaMikdash, it had a bit of Kodesh. Again, you had a room that was built on the property of the Beis HaMikdash. But if the doorway to that room was the exit was to outside, to Chol, where it wasn't Kedusha, didn't have the din of the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't part of the Beis HaMikdash, then it was Chol, it wasn't Kodesh. That's what the Mishnah says. So the question is, why is it like that if this room was on Kodesh, was on property of the Beis HaMikdash, why wasn't it Kodesh? Why didn't it have holiness? Why not? If it was built on the Beis HaMikdash, its property should give it Kodesh, it should be Kodesh. Why doesn't it have a din Kodesh? Why is it not Kodesh? Now it's cozy, now it's just us. So the Mishnah says, I'm just going to repeat it, there might be a little bit of a heart. The Mishnah says that when the room of the Beis HaMikdash was built on property of the Beis HaMikdash, it made a difference where the door was. If the door in that room was to go outside, then it was not Kodesh, it was not holy. If the door was to inside, Going inside, then it was Kaddish, then it was holy. That's the din of the Mishnah. The question is, why is it that it depends where the door is? If something's built on a holy place, it's Kaddish. If something's built on the Harabayis, something's built, it's Kaddish. What does it make a difference where the door is, if the door's facing inside, if the door's facing outside? What's the difference? Explains the Tveres Shloima. And the Tveres Shloima says that there's a difference. It doesn't make a difference what property it is, if it's Kaddish, if it's not, if it's attached to the Beis HaMikdash. It makes a difference in where a person's actually present. If a person's there, what does it mean present? If a person's sitting in a room and the door is to the outside, to Chayil, he's not really present in the Kaddish and the holiness, he's really outside. What? How much does that really apply to us to see that the whole room, which is in Kaddish, doesn't have holiness? That's how the Tveres Shloima explains that a person depends where his mind is, where a person's present. Therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, a person could be in Eretz Yisrael. He could live in Eretz Yisrael, but not be present, not be absorbing the Kedusha, the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. A person could be there, but not actually be there. What? You said that answer?
No, just stop.
A person could actually be in Eretz Yisrael, but not really be there. So the Medrash says, when you're in Eretz Yisrael and you do the mitzvah of Bikurim, by doing the mitzvah, you'll be zeicha to actually be there, to be present, to absorb what Eretz Yisrael has to offer. Just to share a personal story with myself, I was zeicha, I was privileged to live in Eretz Yisrael, married 5 years, 5.5 years, Baruch Hashem, 3 kids, we lived in Eretz Yisrael. Already back for 4 years, but it's still, the more years was in Eretz Yisrael, 5.5 years. When we lived in Eretz Yisrael, we took advantage, we went very often, we went to the Kaisel. It says that the Shechinah Hashem is still resting by the Kaisel. So it's a special place to go. One day, my wife told me she was supposed to go out with a friend, and her friend canceled on her. What was the, it could be it's a regular thing, but her friend canceled. What was it? Why did she cancel? So she told me, my wife told me that she said that they're moving back to Chutz Laaretz, they're moving back to America, to Europe, I don't know where, and they have never gone yet to Maaseh Machpelah, and they arranged, they worked out, they should be able to go that day to Maaseh Machpelah. So to me, it was surprising that a person could be there and not take advantage of all the beautiful things that Eretz Yisrael has to offer. Obviously, these different people take it different ways. Some people, they go to Eretz Yisrael and they learn Torah. That's the purest Torah. One of them, Aram, davened, prayed that they should forget the Torah of Chutz Laaretz. There's a lot to gain in Eretz Yisrael. But the point is, to be in Eretz Yisrael, and not just to be there, to be present in Eretz Yisrael. I was giving a class a little early and I was telling them this Vart. So one of the ones in my class told me, he's actually a surgeon, and he told me that one of his clients are from the ones that, when the 1967 war liberated the Kaisel, told me this one actually, he became from. But he told me, just saying what he said over, that there's a statistic about 60 to 70% of the soldiers that are sworn in by the Kaisel have never been there before. Just to point out an idea, a person could be in Eretz Yisrael and not actually be there. Negeya to what we're holding over here, to preparing for Rosh Hashanah, a person could, of course we daven, of course we learn, but there's something a little bit more over here. When a person's davening, there's an idea of being present when you're davening. We daven, of course we daven. If a person understands that when he's davening, he has a meeting, not just with the president, not just with a king, with the Melech Malchi Amlochim, the highest king, the highest power, so a person would actually be present. To just understand it on an easy level, I once heard this from Rabbi Glazer. He was once speaking and he said, you want to understand what it means being present? Sometimes you can have a beer, you can buy an expensive beer, and while you're talking to somebody, you're drinking it. You don't even realize. You're on the phone and you're drinking the beer. Then there's somebody that's either relaxing on a chair by the water, by the beach, or he's sitting in a hot tub with the beer. who's present with the beer. If you're on the phone, he said he was once drinking a beer, he's on the phone, and when he hung up the phone, there was nothing left in the beer. He didn't even realize that he drank it. That's the idea of being present. In other words, you're doing it, you're doing the act. But being present means being there by the act. Allow me to just translate this to something by Mila. I know we're not by a bris now, but I actually just became a moil and I did my first bris last week. So allow me, give me the permission to just say the Kashem Shenem.
You didn't tell the parents that, no?
You didn't tell the parents.
It was his own son, actually. So.
It was actually my. It was actually my my nephew.
Fine.
We say k'shem shenichnas labris. We say k'shem shenichnas labris. Came to konis l'tayru l'chuppah l'masim toivim. Just like we enter to bris, so too should we enter to chuppah to masim toivim. We should enter. So the question is, it's a little bit of an interesting way of wording it. The same way the baby, we're blessing the baby, the same way he entered to bris, so too should he enter, he should enter. Why is it not kashem that he was zoicha to do it, to be makayim, to do the mitzvah? What does it mean, shenichnas, that he entered bris? The idea is, entering means that he was physically there. What does it mean, physically there? Sometimes you buy an event, and you're just so busy, and you're not even there. I was telling this verse to somebody. He said, yeah, I was by my wedding. I don't even remember being by my wedding. The baby, one thing I could tell you is, I don't know if the baby knows what guest was there. He doesn't even know who is a sandik, he was in whose lap, the god of Adar, he doesn't know. But one thing he knows is someone was cutting, came with a knife and cut him, and there was blood. So he was actually there, he was present, he had pain. That, k'shem shenichnas labris, he was there, present. So too, tikkunis, he should, with marriage, with learning Torah, all that, he should be present. So we're coming now, we're already a little bit into Elul, and we're preparing for such high days, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I believe if we could take care from this is that being present, we learn Torah, we daven, we do mitzvahs, to be present by doing these mitzvahs, Torah, Ma'asim, Tovim, with that, we'll be Zoicha, Taksiv, Vachsim, Tovim.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.